So today is call number 2 of RFP 4, transition implications. Given some of the feedback from the earlier call, I'm wanting to structure the discussion a little bit, and so I'm going to go through an agenda, a review, and a couple of other items, and try to work forward on that. So I've just sent on the name CW list a copy of the slides that I'll be hearing here. So if we go to the next slide. So what I'm proposing for an agenda for today is just a welcome where we are now. Very quickly going through the kind of general background and what the RFP is asking for, RFP 4. I'll ask Grace or others from staff to just go over some of the items from the previous call, present the very short timeline that we have ahead of us, and then suggest a couple of work streams going forward and some next steps in this process. Next slide. And so the two co-chairs is myself and Siva. I'm not sure if Siva's been able to dial in to this call. That's it. But before I go into the topics, I'm just wondering for other agenda, if you go back a slide, please, for the agenda again. Are there other, is everyone fine with this agenda? Is there any other things that folks would like to add? So we'll proceed then to the background slide, please. Kind of the general background, or at least my view in terms of RFP4, it's really to describe the existing arrangements that exist and how changes proposed in RFP3 are to be implemented. Specifically, you know, what is it that needs to be changed? And because it's transition implications, the key aspect of, or the work of this group also is to ensure the security and stability of the proposal or proposals or aspects that go forward. That's kind of my view. If we then go to the next slide, the way it's formally described with a couple of different components is to describe the operational requirements, the risk to the operational continuity, legal framework requirements, testing that may have taken place, and basically kind of timelines for Section 3, milestones, et cetera, going forward. Next slide. And I don't have it up right now. Grace, could you just go through in terms of some key items that came up from the last call?
Sure. So I'll go over those for you. So there were some action items from the last call. I've posted the notes into the chat. So the a few of the action items, so I'll read them out. Group to clarify the questions we asked to IANA, re-technical checks. There was no follow-up on that action item. The second action item was YAP and others to check about technical checks with their circles and communities. YAP may want to follow up on that since he's on the call today. Should we pause or should I go through all of them first?
Let's pause at that point.
Okay.
So in terms of technical checks, I guess we've heard nothing back that can be shared at this point. I'm curious, YAP or others, are there any comments on technical checks that you'd like to make at this point?
Well, I mean, but couldn't find it. There's been a discussion in IANA with a lot of stakeholders about the time IANA went to automate stuff, and also doing the Diana automation of checks, and there had been a discussion about which checks Diana should perform, but I couldn't find the reference to that discussion anymore. And so that's kind of, and I tried for a while, and then later I forgot about it. Sorry about that. But we should probably ask Kim Davids, because he was leading that discussion at that time, whether he can point to a description of the checks they are doing. So that's, but I'm sorry to have dropped the ball there, but remind me again, I will check Kim. There's something I need to say about operational checks in general, how things are to be configured. There's a lot of different ways of doing that, and I remember there's been discussions for years in the DNS working group in Rive to come up with a standard document of recommendations, and in the end, people, the ideas how to run a proper name service, data are so different between which operator you talk to that we have never been able to get a firm, concrete way of getting a document out where everybody could agree on. I mean, just this, so that hampers what is a technical check and what not, and so that's more a word of caution. Another thing people often point to is IRC, I think 2181, which is basically a description how the root operators should run the name service, the name servers, which is slightly different than running a name service. And but the point is that not all root operators actually agree with that IFC, and it is just for information only. So finding a decent standard of what checks are required and what are extra and is in itself already a hard problem. So. But again, I will try to reach out to Kim and trying to find out whether there is a description of the checks they do now, other than what's currently on the IANA pages.
Great. Thank you so much. In terms of, we got here, in terms of, there was a timeline from Barry, which he did get back to me, which I'll talk about later. In terms of comments on the stress test mentioned by Steve DiBianco's and others, I'm just curious, those who that were mentioning about that, are they on the call today? We're missing. Olivier and Alvry are off the call today.
Yep, I'm. This is Grace. I'm going to process a dialogue to Olivier now, but he won't be on for a few more minutes, so we might want to come back to him.
Okay, we'll come back. So what I'll do is maybe go to the next slide, which is. Kind of the timeline that we're facing. Let me get back to Olivier. And this is subject to revision, but just going through some of the discussions online and discussion with the smaller drafting group, we have a really short deadline ahead of us. The deadline for submission of public comments is on the 22nd, and then the discussion needs to take place on reviewing the public comments and seeing how they could be included in the CWD proposal. It takes place a couple days after that. The work on RFP 4 and the larger proposal on each to be finished by January 10th, 12th. And a few days after that, the proposal needs to be complete so it can be submitted. And so there is a short deadline, and then what's not mentioned here is for many there's also design. So then we have a really rather short deadline, and we also have the holidays that are here. So we have to try to, have more specific tasks identified and try to find ways to go forward on them. Next slide. In terms of what the timeline I think looks like is, you skip this slide, please. And actually, before we go to this, if you could just go back to the review of the earlier call slide. Olivier, good to have you on the call now. We were just going through some of the previous call items, in terms of on the last call, there had been a call for volunteers, but also a discussion on action elsewhere. So I'm just wondering if there's any update you'd like to share with us in regards to some of the discussions that we had on the last call before I get into suggested ways that we can meet our timeline and splitting the volunteers in this group. Olivier?
Yeah, thanks very much, Robert. It's Olivier Krapanopoulos speaking. And the follow-up that I did on the mailing list was to send a document which was showing some of the potential threats or challenges to the different organizations that were being built. I haven't received any feedback for it, so I don't quite know whether people have received it or looked through the document. Ever since that time, there's been, of course, more movement going on, but these were based on the original ideas of what the contract core was going to be and what the MRT was going to be, etc. That's the only contribution I've made so far. Thank you.
Great, thank you. So given the timeline and given that we are really waiting for our 3-3 to go forward, I just want to maybe suggest for discussion a work plan going forward. So if we could just go forward to the work stream proposal. I see basically for RFP4, there are basically three tasks in terms of where text needs to be developed and discussion needs to take place. One is describing the current state, an understanding of the existing IANA contract, reviewing the technical proposal to see if things should stay and what's there to have a better understanding. Two, to get to whatever is being proposed in specific options, for example, contract co, what is a transition path that is required for that to be implemented? What are specific changes that need to be adopted? And a third part, which is then testing the proposal, identifying the risks, especially during the transition period. I think those are kind of three things that need to happen. I think describing the existing situation, a key source document is the technical proposal from ICANN in regards to the IANA contract, transition path, which is things that would need to be changed. I've, together with staff support and others, have some text to share. For testing the proposal, I think we need to have a more robust conversation in terms of, I think all the years you mentioned, in terms of what are the risks and threats generally, but especially during the transition period. So I'm just curious in terms of these three streams, what people think in terms of moving forward with these kind of three different types of ways to move ahead in our conversation. Any comments? Let me just go to the next slide and we get into a bit more details. So in terms of next slide, for Workstream 1, I think what I am suggesting is that we go through the existing IANA ICANN technical proposal, review some of the, it's a very elaborate document, but review the table of contents and see what necessarily could be changing in our, or what RFP3 is proposing and what needs to change, and identify what are key items that already exist in the proposal from the ICANN technical proposal, and what are relevant terms and what are relevant items that should need to be brought over. So everyone understand kind of what Stream 1 would be, or what would be involved. So to work Stream 2, or the next slide, sorry. And so in terms of the technical proposal, and it's shared in the slides, and I'll share it in an email as well, too. This is the document in question. Next slide. There is a table of contents, which what I would propose, and we can do this on this call, is just to go through it just to see if we have an understanding of the key items that we wish that need to be included in the transition implications. And I'll come back to this later. Next slide, there's four pages of this. And here, stay in Workstream 2. For Workstream 2, I think what we need to go through is having an understanding of some of the technical items, what changes going forward, what text is required and how that needs to be built up, and that needs to be developed for the different proposals, possibly under review. What would that include? Next slide. And so, as I mentioned, and I'll share all this with a Word document with everyone, is then we have the description of what the transitions implications, and then a breaking down of what changes take place. So, for example, what roles NTIA currently has, and how that would change going forward for the different proposals. And this is one where Bernie was particularly helpful. So if we go through just a couple of slides here, it shows that for each of the points in the contract, what changes. And this needs to be developed for RFP4. So next slide. So as you can, if you just go back one, it shows for the different points of the contract, what changes, what doesn't. So this is a slide that I would like to review with everyone on the call, and then find possibly a sub-work party that will have developed that as well. And then for a work stream number 3, next slide, in terms of what needs to happen is the testing, and this is a discussion of what some of the issues related to security and stability of the proposal, identifying what some of the key risks and type of risks would be, what are certain key periods, for example, transition, and make sure to document that and what some of the issues and what some of the proactive measures and what are some measurements that would need to take place. So again, in terms of proposals, in terms of for RFP4, suggesting that we try to have different volunteers that work on different work streams, describing the current situation. Number 2, describing the transition path, what changes in different parts of, if we take a look at the NTIA contract and what things would change going forward, describing that, how it's going to be implemented going forward, and then thirdly, testing a new proposal. So that's kind of my idea in terms of structuring some of the time that we have together to try to develop text on specific different sections of RFP. So I'll stop now and ask for feedback or comments for those on the call in terms of a way of structuring our work going forward. Comments, please. Olivier, you spoke earlier. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on my proposed ideas to structure the work for RFP 4.
Thanks very much, Robert. It's Olivier speaking. You put me on the spot. Yeah, I'm quite okay with this. I think you've got a good proposal here for the work that needs to be done. I'm a little concerned at the moment that some of the things that we have to test and, some of these structures that we have to test in this work, in this RFP, are actually moving and changing in RFP 3 as well. And I'm not quite sure how we can reconcile the two. That's the concern that I have at the moment. So we might be set on testing out the proposal using a certain set of ideas and a certain set of parameters, and then if the parameters have changed, then we really are wasting time on this. I don't know whether there will be... I mean, there's likely to be significant changes after the comment period coming to the main part of the proposal, the part that's built by our RFP 3. How much time do we have after that, after this final snapshot of what's going to be proposed, to then do our own work here in RFP 4 is a real concern that I have. Because, as I said, we're dealing with moving goalposts at the moment, it appears.
Sure, and that's why I was proposing three different work streams that are slightly different, and so definitely the testing will change, but describing the current situation, that's not changing, or at least going through kind of the IANA contract, so it's maybe a way to go forward while we wait for some other items to stabilize, and then describing the transition path, again, trying to identify if there are items that can be described now before they change. So that's definitely, you can see if the what possibly should be changing, and just describing that. And so that's one comment. But your comments on time definitely are well taken. I'll go through. Suzanne, you had shared with me some private concerns in regards to testing. I'm just curious if you could make some comments on generally on my work proposal going forward, but also in regards to testing and any thoughts that you might have. Suzanne's comments. Yap, would you like to make any comments on the suggested kind of work plan and specific comments on testing, trying to address some of Olivier's comments?
Find the mute button. I don't have any specific comments to make on the moment, and I see that Suzanne wants to say something, but she cannot really hear you.
Great. All right. Sorry, I'll speak a little bit louder. Okay. Thank you. I'm just maybe want to go back to Shiva as my co-chair. Do you have any specific comments on the proposed work plan going forward generally? All right, we're not getting up too many comments. Well, I'll suggest if we can jump back to Workstream. One slide, please. Great. So I guess in the absence of some comments, largely I'm just going to suggest that we proceed and try to have some conversations on the different Workstream proposals and try to do some work together done as a group. So as I mentioned, for Workstream 1, my idea would be to just review the existing ICANN-IANA technical proposal and just make sure that we identify some key terms that would need to be included. Suzanne's commenting here that on the existing proposal doesn't address operational considerations, continuity of relationship for IANA with root server operators, and we'll offer more comments, more information detail. Thank you so much. So I'm just jumping back here to Workstream 1. Next slide. And as I mentioned, and let's go back and stay here. Something that would be worthwhile very quickly is to go through the table of contents in the technical proposal and go through with those that are on the call to try to identify what are key items or key terms that we should retain or comment about going forward to make sure that we include in the transition implications. Next slide. So stay on this slide. This is the executive summary. And so this goes through point number one here, which is the technical approach. And so I'm just going to go through, I guess, from items 1.1 to 1.2, which is background and contractor requirements. Are there any comments? So this is any contract, I guess, that the CWG proposal would have to include. Are there specific issues here that we think are key? So let's go through here in terms of do folks think that in regards to a background, are we in agreement on what the ICANN model is, what some of the key terms here, some of the collaboration with interested and affected parties. Apart from the ones listed here, are there other parties, existing parties, that would need to be or possibly be included in a proposal going forward? I'll stop here, and Olivier, please, you're next.
Thanks very much, Robert. It's Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. I have a question for clarification. On the document that you're currently showing on screen, at 1.2 contractor requirements, it refers specifically to ICANN of subcontracts and ICANN profile, etc. This is the table that currently explains the relationship between ICANN and the other parties to that's an RFP or something, isn't it? Or a contract itself? I'm a little confused. Sorry, I just jumped into this.
Sure. So if you go back one slide. So this is the technical proposal. This is ICANN's response to, I believe, and some may correct me on the call, this is the technical proposal response to NTIA. From ICANN in terms of how the IANA functions.
So it is ICANN's proposal. It is ICANN's proposal, this one.
It's the current, I would say, working document that explains how IANA works and some of the key aspects there. And so what I'm suggesting is going through just to make sure that if are there key terms, are we in agreement with some of the key terms, some of the key aspects, and would they need to be included in a new proposal going forward as well?
Okay, thank you. That explains it, because it was saying U.S. Department of Commerce. I wondered whether that was an NTIA document, but that, if that's an ICANN document, then I can understand it. Thank you.
Now, to be more precise, if I may interrupt, be more precise, when the contract came out, if you look in the contract, there's an enormous list of requirements there are from IANA. And this is a reaction of IANA, how they're going to fill in these requirements. So there's an awful lot of oodles of small details of how they are, how they are fulfilling currently the contract with the TIA. I mean, it's also the basis of the reports of the evaluation of IANA, which you see on the IANA site. And this is also used as a basis for the third party which are hired in to evaluate whether or not IANA is doing a good job. I mean, all these evaluation, all these reports are you find on the IANA site on how IANA is performed. But this is what this is document indeed the I can propose how to fill in the details of the IANA requirements. And I got this link via the IANA site, but apparently it's published by the MTIA itself.
I'll share the link. Go ahead, next.
I mean, there are a couple of other documents at the same at where the start of this document is as well. About the same subject.
There's the link, and so I think what I'm suggesting is, you know, one of the things that the response proposal that the larger CWG group is going to have to put together, there are some key terms that we have to identified it to include, and so what I'm suggesting is that we can run through some of the items in the table of contents, and just to see if there are, we might want to use some of that as well too, going forward. So it's a source document. There have been some conversations in regards to roles and stuff like that. We might already use going forward. Someone on an ambulance. Yop, is that a newer or an old hand? Great. So we could go back to table of contents, which is the next slide, please. I'll stop here. Greg, you were making a comment. Please go ahead. All right, so let me just proceed here in terms of the question that I had earlier. So I hope Olivier, that helps you understand kind of the document or what document we're looking at right now. I've shared that the URL, and it's also in the PDF I sent around just before this call. And just to go through, I thought it would be particularly useful to have the group as a whole. Again, as I mentioned, one of the work streams, I would like to have a subset of volunteers to go through this, but we're on the call, and I just want to go through this in a very kind of quick way, is in terms of, collaboration with interested parties. Are there other parties that that we might want to include? Olivier, please, your hand.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. It's Olivier speaking. And so in collaboration with interested and affected parties, I think that what's listed here really pretty much amounts to everyone. In the wider sense of the word internet community, that works also with, I guess, internet multi-stakeholder community is what is usually referred to. But all of the others are the usual suspects, the three operational communities, governments, and everyone else. And I would strongly say that they would all need to have a significant part to play in whatever new system is put in place by RFP3. So I wouldn't remove or add anything to this, except if, of course, the non-ICANN internet community is not detailed inside those subsections. But I would have thought internet community describes that. Thank you. You might be muted, or am I muted?
I'm muted. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
So the background, then the contractor requirements, separation of policy development and operational roles. Next slide. We skip one there. So this is specific types of functions, security requirements. Next slide. Conflict of interest, continuity of operations, special requirements, next slide. And then management plan, et cetera. So what I'm, though we could go through this very quickly, I think a suggestion would be that I would like to task everyone on this working group to review this document. Again, it's in the PDF. Possibly look at the document and try to comment if there are, if you agree with some of the key items that are there, some of the key terms. If there's something that should be added, to please comment on that. I know Olivier ALAC is building a different working on its response and comments to the CWG text. I think what I would suggest is to also think about transition implications in the text that you're developing as well, and also try to reference this document as well in regards to is this table of contents worthwhile to replicate? Some key terms, are they okay? If there are specific changes, that is where some of the changes need to be described as well. So it's some of the more detailed work that's required, but I think, you know, what I would ask is everyone on this call, or if we could get a subset of volunteers for work stream number one to go through this table of contents from this contract and identify what are the key terms that we agree on. And if there are some slight changes, to flag them, and that needs to happen over the next kind of short period. And so is there anyone that wishes to lead this effort that folks can report on for work stream number one? Because if not, I'll task everyone to produce to review this and work on some comments. So call for volunteers for Workstream 1, if that's possible. All right, so what I'll ask is to take note of the participants on the call and ask that please everyone review this Workstream 1, this document. Please identify if you're in agreement with some of the key items, some of the key terms that are described. And if there are any differences or any changes, to please send a note to the RFP4 list. and we'll then ask everyone to comment back on the next call. And in the absence of any comments, the working assumption will be that this is you can go forward with the specific items that are listed here. We have a great thank you, Suzanne, for possibly volunteering. Olivier, thank you for forwarding that to the ICANN. Let me suggest now we go to Workstream 2 slide, which I believe is next. Great. And this is the transition path, which is listing the changes that need to occur from the existing proposal or the existing contract, what needs to be changed going forward. Next slide. And a document that has been, so list of changes. Again, I would suggest if ALAC or others that are commenting on the proposal or building their own, going through the MTIA contract and identifying what are some of the changes in existing arrangements, specific terms, such as functions contract administrator, well, that will be changed, what it will be called to, is something that needs to happen. So I'm going to go through here again, this has been shared with everyone, but let's go through here in terms of an example and any comments. So for 2.1, 2.1, NTIA acting as the IANA functions contract administrator, what would happen using the existing contract model that's being proposed? And here's a description of what would need to change. Next slide. And then it's going through here in terms of, as well, the different positions that are currently being defined. They have to be listed, what's there currently, and what would change. And so for multi-stakeholder review team, which is one of the entities that is being proposed, what roles would it take on and how that would change? For example, in 2.3, so I've put forward, I guess, together really with staff's help, a proposal. Would I go through the next slide, please? With the independent appeals panel, some of the linkages, evaluation of changes, next slide. And going forward, so these are going through the different parts of the contract and describing what's there, if there's a change or not, and how that would change going forward. And so I think this is I'll ask everyone to comment on this. I see that Greg is on the call. Are there any comments in regards to this description of what would change from the existing contract and looking at RFP 3 or other items. So, Greg, do you have any comments you'd like to make at this point?
Hi, it's Greg Shatton. If I understand the question correctly, contract it will certainly change. I mean, there is the IANA contract that currently exists will expire, and under the current CWG proposal would be replaced by a contract that would have a lot of the same operational obligations of the current IANA functions operator, more or less unchanged, but would contain a number of other provisions that would be that are not currently found in the current IANA contract, such as the concept of termination for breach and escalation, prior to an actual termination for breach, and a lot of the terms that are unique to contracting with the U.S. government would be deleted. That's at the level of the contract. What would change? The legal framework, of course, is kind of the, I would take that as being the whole, basically, superstructure of the current CWG proposal, which, in a sense, is a attempt to move over, kind of on a corollary basis, the current roles of the NTIA to new bodies. So, in the absence of the NTIA contract, there's going to be both the new contract under the current proposal and also the contract co and the MRT and CSC. So that's really kind of, in essence, the whole proposal is the legal framework requirement. I don't know if it needs to be repeated here so much as perhaps summarized and the concept of the relationship between the current and the past might need to be stated here. Thanks.
Great, thank you. I think for 415, if we go to the next slide. Let's take a look. Hold on, I may have. Hold on. If we can go to slide number 10, which was timeline, please. Sorry for jumping around a bit here. I think one of the items too. Here we go. Again, together with staff and with others, I think one of the items that we also have to describe as part of the transition implications is the estimated timelines and some of the key milestones and trying to describe them. Given where we are with the current description of RFP3, I think it's what needs to be described is what are the timelines for the and the tasks for the creation and the setup of the different elements, and what would be some of the key items, I guess, going forward and some of the milestones. And so this is something that also needs to be described as part of RFP4, and I would say what I would ask everyone, A, to take a look at this right now, to we need a set of folks or the community as a whole, but also I would say those that are commenting on the proposals to not only talk about the different sections, but also what are the estimated timelines, whether they seem appropriate, and what are the specific steps to set them up, whether, for example, there's a number 9 signed contract, which looks like half a month. Is that realistic? What the tasks, and then number 10, for example, conduct transition is a month and a half, an appropriate time, and what would be some tasks or tasks that would could be as part of that, I think need to be described in RFP 4 as well. I'm just curious for the timeline that's listed here, what folks' comments are so far, and would folks be willing to comment on this proposed timeline at all right now on the call, or can I assign that for you as well? Olivier, I'll just maybe ask you, because there's been a lot of work on the ALAC proposal. Has there been a conversation or at least any detailing in regards to timelines and for the different entities that are being proposed and the comments that you're making in terms of what some of the subtasks would be required for each of the entities to be created either in the existing model that's being proposed or the different comments that ALAC is making? Has there been a conversation in regards to timeline?
Yeah, thanks very much for this, Robert. It's Olivier speaking. So I don't know whether you've seen, but our comment is out, has been sent to the review, to the public comment. It's an ongoing thing, so we might change it as well. We might amend it based on some of the feedback that we have. We haven't subjected it to exactly the kind of work that we're looking at right now, which is to have a look at the overall consequences of having such a system. But that's probably, that is definitely the next thing that we'll be working on and seeing. Essentially, for those people who haven't read the proposal, we're not going forward with a contract company. What we're proposing is to have an INS support organization created within ICANN with an INS resource organization that would have a similar sort of status as the NRO currently has. And that would provide a level of separation where if the contract was to be taken away from ICANN and given elsewhere, it would be the INA resource organization that would be able to perform such a move. And because of the fact that it has this link via the INA supporting organization, it still would enjoy some of the legitimacy that would not be something that a brand new MRT might be. Because an MRT would have to have accountability mechanisms ingrained inside it. And so we're still working something out, and I frankly don't know how that would relate to what we're looking at right now. I would imagine some of the important parts would be to play out the scenarios where severability is required, where separation is required, and see how that flies. And if it doesn't fly, then make the necessary amendments so as to make sure that it would fly. I don't know whether this whole group wants to look at it or whether you trust the ALAC to try and have a good stab at it and then come back to you on this.
I think just for time, I think what would be keen is, as you mentioned, working out on some of the details on the particularly on the timeline, on the different aspects. I think with any proposal and is as much detail that can be provided, and that would be not only a response, but it would also include the different aspects as well. And so having a possible timeline as well, a analysis of risks, what some of the changes would be, in a sense, would help, and then we could see if there are commonalities of the different proposals that are out there.
Yeah, if I could say, it's Olivier speaking. We're looking just as an amendment of the proposal that's on the table at the moment. So the independent review panel would stay, the customer standing committee would stay. It would just be the multi-stakeholder periodic review team would be created in a different manner than it is now, but there would be no contract co. That's the only difference, the major difference between the two proposals.
I think I'll just share a comment as well too. This timeline is a little bit out of date, I will share an updated, more corrected one via the list following this call as well. May have taken this from a slightly earlier document, so I'll share that. But I think the context or I think it's important that we talk about the timeline of the different. So Olivier, going back to your comments, is commenting on the timeline from ALAC for the elements that are in common, and for slightly different elements that may be proposed, it would be good to have a sense of the timing and the task to create it would be particularly helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. It's Olivier speaking. That would be, I totally agree with you. And we haven't done any of this yet. We definitely, there's a big need for that. So I'll take notes and we'll come back to you very soon with this. Thank you.
I maybe wanted to, I think, Barry, you're on the call, and you pointed out that there was some, this timeline that I'm presenting is slightly out of date. Could you please mention that for everyone on the call to know what's correct and what's slightly off, please, Barry?
Thank you, Robert. This is Barry for the transcript. I think from our previous RFP 4 call, Greg had mentioned about a timeline being generated, and so I took that as an action item, you know, that we reviewed at the beginning of this call. What everyone will see in the AC room now was kind of the first iteration of that. We received some feedback based on this, and so now there's kind of actually two versions of this timeline that exist, and as Robert mentioned, we'll make sure to send this out to the list after the call. The first one has a couple of more tasks associated with it, such as testing and some of the other items that are being deliberated on, but it still continues working backwards from the September 30th date. There's also a second version, which is really just more on a month-to-month view, which I believe is over the course of around 9 months in terms of the transition. So both of those are presented in the document, and below that is just a high-level straw man of what each numbers of these tasks are. So we'll offer that up for this group to flush out or tear apart. I'm not sure if there will be agreement on the various tasks or not and some of the details in them, but it should be at least a draft for the group to advance forward. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And so, please do send that, and I'll ask everyone on the call to take a look at the updated documents and comment on the specific time that's being suggested, specific subtask, and Olivier or others that are to tweak the proposal. I would suggest maybe commenting or incorporating that in some updated work in terms of what you're sending the group as well too. And so if there's a need to have it in a way that some of the items can be copied and can be modified, please mention that on the list, and so that way we can hopefully check to see if the work Barry and others are suggesting, whether we're in agreement with that, if there's any comments and any changes or suggested revisions, we can all have that conversation. Barry, old hand or new hand? Olivier, please.
Thanks very much, Robert. It's Olivier speaking. And I had a question with regards to the timeline and the recent announcements in the United States where the Congress has restricted the amount of funding for NTIA to perform any transition or I'm not sure whether I'm paraphrasing here and I might have gotten the wrong idea, but I thought that there was some delay as to the actual possibility of the transition taking place in September itself. Are we to work on the original timeline irrespective of these developments?
I'm happy to make some comments, but I'm just, if there's someone else that maybe wants to speak more authoritatively to this, I think in the absence of someone else putting up their hand, I think we have to wait and see. I think a lot of things that happens in Congress are a little bit unpredictable. I think my assumption, at least for this RFP, is to work towards a deadline that we have so far, and if there's any changes, the issues may be related to how NTIA itself engages, but the community as a whole is not bound by Congress, and so there is work that we can still do going forward. Greg, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Robert. Greg Shatton, for the record. The congressional bill is rather odd. Obviously, this has been tucked into a general spending bill, attempt to kind of keep it from being debated separately. And that bill, I think, has been passed by both houses of Congress, but not yet signed into law. I think without it, there's no money to run the government, so it kind of will end up being signed into law. But the language that's in the spending bill which says that none of the funds made available by this act may be used to relinquish the responsibility of the NTIA during fiscal year 2015, which ends September 30th, 2015, with respect to Internet domain name system functions, including responsibility with respect to the authoritative root zone file and the IANA functions. So there's nothing here that says that the agency can't work or take steps to end the contract, and certainly nothing that says that we can't continue to move forward, whether this in any way would delay the actual transition is really, in a sense, up in the air in terms of interpretation. The reason it's drafted in this somewhat odd way is that this is a budget bill, so it had to be drafted, as I understand it, around some sort of a budget concept rather than a prohibition. Then it would not be appropriate to have in the bill. So, you know, question whether IANA actually needs to spend money while we're doing what we're doing, or even while after we give them what they do, what they get, is not entirely clear. But I would certainly not take this as any sort of pencils down or lengthening of our timeline at this point. There's a lot of moving parts, but I would not take this as a game changer.
Great, thank you, Greg. I think something Olivier is what I'll say is that it's a key item that we should get feedback, perhaps, or comments back from the chairs in regard to this. It's not specific to RFP4. We are discussing the timeline, and so what I'll suggest as one of the action items is that this issue has come up, and that I'll flag as an action item that just go to the chairs, the co-chairs of the working group, to try to give us some information in regards to the NTIA or the budget announcement, and if that affects the timeline of the work. I'm working right now under the assumption that we're on existing timelines and going forward, and we'll see when we get back a comment where we're going to be. If we then go back, let me just suggest we go now to slide number 13, which is next steps. In terms of what I've tried to do in regards to work streams, in terms of things that we need to do, Greg, is that a new hand?
Old hand, sorry.
Right. I've suggested on this call that we try to structure some of our conversations and discussions in a more focused way on three different work streams. One, describing the current situation. Two, the transition path going forward. There's some text that was shared and that will be shared on the RFP 4 list in regards to things that change. And number three, testing. Discussion in regards to that, and what are some key issues that need to be described. And if we focus it on those two, describing the current situation, that's static, and so that can be done. Number two, what I suggest going forward is that we arrange weekly calls, and that we try to have a 1 hour to at most hour and a half call sometime between the period 13 to 1600. If the time that we started today works, then I would suggest that we just work using this time going forward. And so I would like to schedule checking in with everyone this week, or this the same time on a Tuesday going forward, where we can get updates. So I have 3 hours listed here. I'm just proposing that's the window that we can have the call. Great. Another action item is to check the availability of this time slot window, make sure it doesn't coincide with other calls, and to have staff later today or tomorrow propose a specific time every Tuesday for 1 to 1.5 hour slot between this time period, and get back to us so we can schedule a call. So I would like to schedule a tentative call next Tuesday, and whether it's the same time we had today or just a little bit slightly off, that will be announced in the next day or so. I think those are my kind of... All right, so with that, I've suggested specific assignments for everyone in regards to comments on the contract and for folks to come back on that. We've had slightly different volunteers for the different work streams, so I appreciate that, and I look forward to a comments on everyone on Barry's timeline, and I thank everyone for their participation in today's call, and look forward to updates on the mailing list and meeting everyone a week from today. Again, thank you everyone for your participation in the call today. I look forward to a robust conversation online. Thank you.